So my name is Stephanie Howard, and I am married to my husband of almost 20 years this December, so praise the Lord for that. And I have three beautiful children. I have Hunter, who is 19 and a sophomore at VU College, Valpo University College. And I have my middle daughter's name is Jaylee, and she is a junior in high school. And then last but not least, I have Violet, who is an eighth grader. And, I love my girls. They each make me a better person each and every day. They bring the highs and lows of being a mom, but they are 100% encouraging and loving and supporting. And they're the roles in life that I am not. Like, Hunter is just such a go-getter, you know, and she just, you know, goes for the world at full force and a problem solver. And then Jaylee just has this just infectious personality that, you know, when you're around her, you're just like, oh, I love that, on how she'll just go tell people how pretty they are or how smart they are. And Violet, she just beats to her own drum. She just does what she does and doesn't care what anybody thinks, if it's her personality to the way she dresses. And she is very strong-willed and determined, and when she wants something, she is going to get it. So that is just amazing. And they're my support system. They are my day-to-day. They are what, you know, keeps me going and thrive to be better each and every day.
We are all on a journey. We're all at different points on life's journey, and that's okay. I'm Steph Reynolds, Director of Partner Care for Shine.fm. The purpose of our journey is simple, but sometimes it's difficult. Our desire is to keep moving forward, becoming more like Jesus. Stephanie and her beautiful family are about to discover a health obstacle that for some would shake them to their core. But for Stephanie, she knew she was in God's hands and fully trusted whatever the outcome would be. This is Shine 180, stories of lives transformed by God because of your faithfulness. Here is Stephanie's story.
My story started about 10 years ago. I just celebrated my anniversary. It was the 26th of August. So this is really exciting. And it's kind of like stirred up a lot of emotions and everything, like how fast 10 years goes. But I'm going to go back just a little bit because my story actually started a little before that. I had my daughter and all three of my daughters, and I had Violet, my last daughter, and I just, you know, I ended up nursing her and just loving every minute of it. And then, you know, it was a year after nursing her and everything like that, and I just was not feeling right. You know, I went to an array of doctors. I went to my family physician, I went to my eye doctor, and I went to my gynecologist, and I just said, you know, I'm just not feeling right. And they said, you know what, Stephanie, we'll do some blood work, we'll check you out, we'll see how things are going. With my eye doctor, it was, hey, your vision has changed, but it's very common, you know, and everything. And I was like, okay. And then my general physician, he just said that, you know, my levels were pretty normal, and just my body getting back to being a woman that's not producing, you know, a child or producing the hormones for a child. And my gynecologist said same thing, like, let's give it a year. But Stephanie, I think it's really important that you zone into, you know, self-care and everything. Are you taking time for yourself? And I was like, well, you know, it's kind of hard. I have three daughters, I have a husband, and they're my pride and joy. And it's really challenging for me to just say, I'm going to go take a minute for myself and everything, which self-care is extremely important for us to do. And so then, you know, another year had went by, and I'm trying to implement the self-care and finding hobbies that worked for me. So I had done some walking and started doing some more reading, and, you know, just introducing more self-care as best as I could. And I just still was not feeling right. And my sister-in-law is one of my best friends, and I had said to her, you know, Kendra, I'm just not feeling like myself. You know, the doctor said, give it time, give it, you know, self-care is important, and also just allow your body to recover from having so many babies in such a short period of time. So it was kind of key to me. And she's like, you know, just bear with the situation. I said, "Know what, Kendra, you know, I feel like I'm pregnant again, you know?" And she kind of laughed and she's like, "Do you think you are?" And I'm like, "Well, no, but I was nauseous and food was tasting bad and smells were tasting bad. And sweetie, I put on some weight, okay?" And so I'm like, "No, I've taken a pregnancy test. I'm not pregnant. Josh and I are not trying. Like, I don't know what's going on." And throughout all of my pregnancies, I had bad headaches. So I was also getting back the bad headaches. So I was like, "I don't know. I think my body really wants to be pregnant." And she kind of laughed and giggled. And, you know, I just said, "You know what, Kendra, I go see the doctor here in a few months. And I think I'm going to reiterate what's kind of going on in my life with my health, because I just don't feel like it's right." And so during that time period, headaches then turned to migraines, and the migraines then turned to, you know, everyone I think kind of experiences migraines differently, but mine was you had to shut all the blinds and I had to be in the dark. And so there was the visual of it. And then I was really nauseous and my head would pound and everything. And I was just kind of praying through that situation, like, "God, what is your plan?" You know, because I can't keep up with the girls right now. And I can't keep up with, you know, my house right now and just being the wife and the mother that I want to be. So God, what is your plan? And it was my brother-in-law, Matthew, that had said, "Hey, Stephanie," I'm sorry, in a Sunday school setting, had said, "Hey, Steph, you know, hey, guys, have you ever asked God to use you?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I think so. But, like, use you for his glory." And I was like, "I think so." Like, I'm thinking this to myself. And as it all had kind of, you know, that day it had set on my heart, like, "God, use me for your will, for your kingdom." And, you know, as all of this is kind of going on and everything, I'm just thinking, you know, is God using this migraine and the nausea and the other fatigue-like symptoms for his glory? Like, is there something more to it? And so in the back of my head, whenever I was having these moments of needing Josh to come home to be with the girls so I could go be in a dark, quiet room, I would tease whenever the girls would peek in and be like, "Mom, are you okay?" And I'd be like, "Oh, mama just has me a brain tumor." And I would make jokes, you know, because sarcasm is my way of like coping with things. And I didn't want them to stress. And I really didn't have that serious severity, what a brain tumor was and everything. And I just kind of joked about it. And then, you know, that doctor's appointment that I had chatted about a little bit earlier had came up, and God had allowed us before that doctor's visit, Josh and I were able to go on a couple of trips, just him and I, so we could reconnect, which is extremely important during a marriage. We were 10 years into marriage, having 3 children, you know, just trying to make life happen. And God then had provided us a beautiful family trip right before these doctor's visits and everything. And he was preparing for what was to come and everything. And so we went on that and had a marvelous, marvelous family trip. And when I got back, it was August 13th. It was a Friday the 13th. Dun, dun, dun. But it really wasn't for me. Like, I'm not that superstitious person. And I went into the eye doctor and I was just kind of really uncertain about whether I should mention those problems that I was having. You know, I was starting to have blurry spells, which come to find out they were called optic migraines. And my glasses weren't working anymore. Like, I really couldn't see crisp out of them or my contacts. And I just kind of sat there before the doctor came in and I said, "God, should I mention this again, that there's a small problem kind of going on with my vision?" And he just said, "You know what, Stephanie, don't be felt like you are a fool by mentioning your health." And so I had mentioned it to Dr. Carlson. And I said, "You know, doc, I know we mentioned this here, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago and everything, but I'm still not feeling good." And he's like, "All right, we'll get you checked out." Super nice man and everything. And he does the eye visit and he says, "You know what? I'm going to go grab my associate And his associate comes in and he's kind of looking at some things and he says, you know what, Stephanie, we're going to have to get you an MRI. And I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. Never had one of those before. And he says, when are you available to actually go get this MRI? And I said, well, you know, my schedule's pretty free during the day. I'll try as soon as I can. How's Monday sound? He's like, all right, Monday sounds good, but it is really important that you get that MRI. And I was like, okay. And, you know, he didn't really disclose too much of what was going on. He just said, we need to take a fuller look of what's kind of going on. I said, I come home and I said, well, Josh, guess what? Doctor wants me to go get an MRI. Ooh, exciting. But let's celebrate because Violet's birthday is the 15th. So let's celebrate Vi's birthday. Let's not get too stressed about this situation. You know, mom will probably have some cataracts at 29. And he was a little worried, little stressed. And I said, you know what, babe? It's probably mommy has a brain tumor. Josh did not think that was funny, not at all. But I think it was me personally, God preparing me for what was to come with my humor. And like I said earlier, I did, you know, pray for God to use me in that Sunday school, you know, throughout that week. I prayed for God to use me. So he's like, runner up. Come on, Stephanie. I'm going to use you, sugar pie. And so, just to kind of backtrack, I had also went to my family physician during that time, right before the 13th. So I was going to get blood work done too. So God was just packing it nice and full for me. As far as that goes, I was getting the MRI and then right afterwards, I was getting the blood work done. So I went and everything and I was just like, okay, I'm getting an MRI and I just found out I'm claustrophobic. So what am I going to do? You know, the MRI machine looks very big across the room, but when you get there, it's like, wow, that space is kind of small. So got there to the MRI and what I had done and any times of stress or discomfort in small spaces or just physically is my breathing. I, you know, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth kind of thing. And so that's what I did during that experience. And the young lady that had done my MRI, super nice, wonderful woman and everything, but you could just see the sadness in her eyes because when most people meet me, you know, I embrace them and I love them and I try to bring a smile to their face because I feel like that's my gift that God has given me is by sharing that. And so she, you know, as the imaging tech, she can't say what's going on, but you could just see that sadness in her face, you know, kind of more or less like, I hope that you have a really good day, Stephanie, and it's been a pleasure, you know, doing this imaging for you. Best of luck. And I said, oh, thank you. You're so sweet. And so I went home and about 2 hours later, the eye doctor, Dr. Carlson, called and he says, hey, Stephanie, by any chance, is Josh and you available to come in as soon as possible? And I was like, oh, sure. Why not? That sounds like fun. He's like, we got your imaging back. And you could just hear in his voice, he was not very happy to be the one delivering this information. And I had called Josh and I said, hey, the doctor called. He asked if we could come in as soon as possible. I'm going to go there now. Josh said he was about 20 minutes out and everything like that. I said, okay, I'll meet you there. So I get to the eye doctor and he's, you could just, like I said, see now, not only hear the worry, but see the worry in his face. And he says, Stephanie, I'm not at liberty to actually tell you like as far as like what it is. But he says, you have a very large mass on your brain. I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. Like, how big is this large mass? And I said, is it like the size of like a pea? And he goes, no, it's bigger than that. And he says, is it? And I said, well, is it the size of like a golf ball? And he goes, no, it's bigger than that. And I said, oh, okay. And just to kind of reiterate, 90% of the time, I have my wonderful Josh with me. So God just kind of more or less said, Stephanie, I want you to hear this news. You and I, God and I, and Dr. Carlson, I want you to hear this news because the way Josh is going to handle it, you're going to need to hear it first. And so that had happened. And he said, Stephanie, the doctor, Dr. Carlson had said, Stephanie, it's about the size of a softball. And I said, oh, wow, that's very surreal because all three of my girls play softball. And God kind of knows the resentment that I have towards the whole softball life. You know, it had taken over at that time in our life. My husband was the coach. My girls played. It was softball on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. And then, oh, the weekend, where are we going? A softball tournament. And so I was kind of like, of course it's the size of a softball. And he's like, no, Stephanie, seriously. Like, you have a mass on your brain that is the size of roughly a softball. And I was like, okay, like, what's next? And he says, well, I got to bring in my associate and he wants to talk with you as well. So he brings in his associate and he says to me, Stephanie, this is a big deal. And we have already contacted your general physician and he has given us recommendations of who we should call for this mass that you have on your brain. And I was like, oh, well, that was really sweet of you. Thank you. Appreciate it. And now I hear my husband in the background being greeted by Dr. Carlson at that time and sharing what was, you know, happening. And Josh was not very happy. He instantly got emotional and was like just rolling through his brain of what was going on and what could be and what could happen and everything like that. And I just said, okay, God, give me the armor of you. Allow me to be the strength that I need to be at this time for whoever it's meant to be. And so Dr. Buck at the time was saying, no, seriously, like, you need to keep in mind that you're going to have to go get this addressed abruptly. And I was like, oh, okay, this sounds like fun little vacation from the kids, me and Josh maybe going. And so it was that next day let me rewind a little bit. I then saw Josh and everything, and I had said, you know, Josh, it's going to be okay. It's part of God's plan. It's what God has intended. I said, but at this time, I don't feel like it's something that we need to share with our family and friends right now. And I know prayer is extremely powerful, but Stephanie is a very proudful person, something I struggle with, that I'm going to take care of this between God and you and I at this point. And so he was very upset. And so we then, you know, went to that doctor's appointment the next day. But we went to the doctor's visit and he basically looked at Josh, or he looked at my MRI, and he then had looked at Josh and I and said that it was a life-threatening softball-sized brain tumor and that it wasn't something that he wanted to operate on, and that I needed to get my estate in order. And then Josh had said, well, how much time does she have? And he says, roughly about 10 to 14 days and everything. And Josh was like, you don't understand. This is my wife of 10 years. We have three children. You know, you can't just give us this information and not give us any hope or will or an outcome and everything. And he said, I won't operate on it because it has fingers. It's wrapped around her pituitary gland and her carotid artery, and it's massive, and I won't do the operation. And so Josh was, again, just beside himself of anger and, you know, uncertainty. And I just said, baby, it's okay. He's not the one it's meant to be. It's not God's will for him to be the man that does this operation. And at this point, Josh isn't really hearing my kind, loving words that the Lord is giving me. He is hearing, I need to get answers. I need to get a doctor. I need to get someone that's going to come alongside our family and see the worth that I have in my wife and the mother of my children. And so it was, and I wish, oh God, I pray he gets to hear this podcast, but there was a nurse that had given us three recommendations of doctors that were in the Chicago area and also Mayo's of who we could call that would be willing to take my case, take a look at it, and, you know, maybe invest in is me as a person and invest in my family. And like I said, it was a nurse that did this. When we had asked the doctor for references, he wouldn't give them. So God help his soul. And I mean that with all of me and everything, because that is not what people need to hear and everything. And so got into the car and everything like that. And Josh is getting on the phone and calling all of these numbers that the nurse had given us and seeing the quickest that we could get in. And, you know, I don't think the thought process of, you know, people are also being seen was kind of in his frame of mind. We have to tackle this. We have to get you in and available. And we have to, I can't lose my wife. And so he made all these appointments, and they were roughly anywhere between like 7 to 10 days out. And just hearing in the back of Josh's mind, I believe, that my wife doesn't have that time. And you're telling me that you can't see her for this time frame. And I said, you know what, baby, we can't get our knickers in a knot, because it's part of God's plan, and we have to entrust in that. If God wants us to see a doctor before that, he will open up those doors. And if God doesn't, then that is what God has planned for us, and we have to accept that. And like I said, armor of God all over me, feeling so honored to be part of, you know, his story that could relate to other people that understand, you know, what's happening in a day-to-day life that we have, that God calls upon you at uncertain times. And you have to say, put on the armor of God in order to do so. And so there we are lying in bed and everything. And we weren't quite ready to, like I said, share this with other people, because at that time, you know, and even now, I feel like you have to have a resolution before you give devastating news. And so we were laying there in bed, and a friend, two of our friends dear to us, had called and said, Stephanie, I want to let you know that I had called my oncologist at Rush. The friends' names are Gary and Barb Steinler, and she was at Rush for a cancer, lung cancer that she had had. And she says, I had called my oncologist and I shared my story with them. And, or shared your story rather with them to let them know what was going on. And the doctor said he could see you tomorrow. And I was like, see, God is present. God is real. And then the next morning, and this might be a little off on timing. It's been 10 years. And then the other doctor had called, and he had said there was a cancellation and he could take my case as well. So therefore I was going to see a doctor at Rush University, and then I was going to see a doctor at Northwestern, like back to back and everything. And I just had said to Josh that, you know, this doctor, I'm interviewing him, and he has to make me feel warm and fuzzy. And he doesn't have to be like Dr. Poopy Pants that we saw, you know, a day or two ago and everything. And he's like, okay, you know, and Josh is more of, okay, I'm going to go online. I'm going to check him out. I'm going to do my research. And I'm just like, you know, this is God's plan. As he likes to say, I'm a kite girl, and I just go with the Holy Spirit and faith. And he's like facts and figures. And so we had got there and met Dr. Burns, is what his name was, and he was so hopeful. He was just, he come in and he had confidence and just exuded positivity, and that is what I thrive on. And like I have said throughout this whole, you know, interview, is I had prayed about it and I prayed about it. And so Josh had a list of questions, and you know, I didn't really have the questions. Like I said, I was going all warm and fuzzy and everything. And he says, yes, I actually, Dr. Burns had said, yes, actually, I just did this surgery last week sometime of a woman that her tumor was actually even a little bit bigger than a softball. And she is now home. And she was an international patient at, you know, and everything. And he goes, and she's actually back home right now after having surgery. So I have hope for you. that all will be okay. And it was just a total different story than what that previous doctor had said. And I was like, okay, okay. But then my big question was, how are you as a person? And I said, well, we're going to go see this other doctor at Northwestern. What is your thoughts? I wanted to see if he was humble or if he was, you know, overly confident. And he was confident with class. He says we have done cases together and he's a good guy. And if he was the gentleman to do your surgery, you would be in great health. You would be in great hands. I believe 100% you would be okay. But I want to do the surgery. And I was like, okay, you know, I like what you said. Giving a little shout out to friends in the area of assistance. And so we said, okay, well, we're going to think about it. We're going to pray about it and we'll get back to you. So we had got back to the car and I said, you know what, Josh? He had asked me what I thought. And I said, hey, Josh, I really like him. And he says, well, do you think we need to go see that other doctor? And I said, no, I don't think so. I think this is who God wants him, you know, to do it and everything. I think we need to, you know, maybe go back inside and let them know.
Knowing her own body and being an advocate for her own health when things didn't just seem right, Stephanie pursued answers. After several tests, she finds the answer is a softball-sized brain tumor. She immediately knows this is a part of God's plan for her life and asks him, use me for your glory, for your kingdom.
And so we had went back inside and scheduled the appointment. It was for August 26th. I needed to be there on the 25th to just get some pre-op stuff done. And I had about a little over a week and a half to get my life in a nice little bundle, let everybody know, hey, Stephanie has a brain tumor and we're going to need some help and we're going to need to just have an array of prayer just throughout the whole experience. And so with that, it comes that our church had done a laying of the hands. I have never experienced that before. If they had done it in previous occasions, I must have been watching my babies or something like that. But they had a laying of the hands and a, you know, we're praying for you little farewell. And then I got to be with my family and I got to be with Josh's family. And I had asked that everyone just be strong and realize that God is calling me to do this job for whatever reason it is. It's going to be okay. And that if we could just kind of hold back the tears and emotions, that would be amazing right now. And pretty much everybody agreed that that was a doable thing. But behind closed doors, there were a lot of sadness and a lot of uncertainty. And it was something that I had been masked to by God. Like I was oblivious to what was to come and everything for everybody else. I had a mother that was like, my daughter is 29 years old and she's going to have brain surgery. And she's making it seem like she's just going to get her arm reset after breaking it. Like, this is not realistic. And I really tried to shelter my girls and make it seem as fun, as exciting as I possibly could. I did not want to interfere in their lives at that time at 9, 7-ish, and 4 at that time. I did not want to encrypt and have them worry about what their mom was going to be going through. And so, you know, I got a lot of good food during that time. Oh, sweetheart. You know, when you tell people you're going into surgery, they will get you some good eats. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to deny that invitation. You know, this is the way of love they are giving me. And so to get back on track, I went in and got that, I went in and got all prepared for surgery and everything like that. And I was ready. I was like, I love you guys. Have a good time. I'm going to have this good old nap and we're just going to wake up and just start our day, you know, and everything was not that way for them. As I had said, they were very upset, but I had an array, a tribe of people praying for me. And at this time I wasn't on social media. So I had all these advocates that were saying, pray for Stephanie Howard, pray for Stephanie Howard, and just multitudes of people praying for me. So the power of prayer is just remarkable. And so I believe there was like 28 or 29 people in the lobby of Rush University praying for me and being the support system for my family, for Josh, and it was overwhelming. And the funny thing was, is like I packed this big cooler of snacks because I'm like, if all these people are coming, they need to eat. You know, we're Christians. We gotta have food around our fellowship for sure. And so it was that, you know, everyone that had made it there, you know, I wanted to make sure they were as comfortable as I was, because man, I was just going in for me a long nap. And fast forward about 13 hours later, everyone else has a different side of the story, but about 13 hours later, come out of surgery. And at that time, you know, I was a little groggy, a little nauseous and everything like that. And everything was just a little like, I need to just rest. Like I did not come out thinking, okay, we got this. I was like, okay, we just holler just a little too loud and just got calmed down a little bit and everything. And you know, I was a little nauseous too at that time and stuff, but so I ended up resting the rest of the night and everything. And I woke up, you know, I think it was like 7-8 o'clock in the morning, like a Pop-Tart. I was ready and I was rearing to go and everything like that, just as I intended. I thought I would be, but you know, God thought I needed a little rest. So I was like, okay. And so I woke up and I was just ready to just do whatever I needed to do to get, you know, out of there and to my babies as quick as I possibly could. And so fast forward a little bit, I was there 4 days. Past my physical aspect of things, my cognitive, you know, movements and thinking and everything like that. And alongside during that time, my one brother, Doug, was there. And he just kept laughing at me like, oh my gosh, Stephanie, like, do you have any idea how mind-blowing this is right now? Like, you're like, just fine and you're okay. And we really got to have some good, you know, like spiritual time. And you know, just he really got to see God at work, and that was the beauty of it. And I really think it strengthened his walk with Christ, seeing that you took my sister in a 13-hour brain surgery that she wasn't probably supposed to make it out of, and she's here today. Like, let's not take life for granted. And my dad was there, and you know, my dad was my dad. Like, Stephanie, calm down, calm down. Things I've been hearing my whole life. You know, we chatted about, you know, when a Stephanie is in the room kind of thing. You know, it's like, Stephanie, be quiet. Stephanie, sit down. And you know, you can't calm a Stephanie by no means. And so went home after 4 days and I was doing really good. And Barb and Gary and a few of the other young ladies in our church had organized to where they were making meals for me and my family, and they were providing, you know, just home care that I needed during that time. They came in and cleaned my house and everything like that. I mean, they were just so beautiful. And they had a great routine set up before I even went home. And I did go home way before people kind of thought, but they worked so well with it. And so I was home about 4 or 5 days, and then I started to get not feeling so good. You know, I was kind of losing my luster. I didn't have the energy, and I was just really kind of weak and tired. And I could tell once again, something just wasn't right with my body. So I feel like I've always been really in tune with my body, and just something wasn't right. And Josh had went to go lay down in the living room, and I was in the bed, and I just said, you know what? I was very strategic about taking my meds. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to set a timer and everything so I could take my meds, and I'm going to try not to wake up Josh, because I mean, whew, he has been through the juggler, you know, and just jumbled all around, just trying to make sure everything is where it needs to be, crossing I's, dotting T's, and everything. So I just wanted to allow him to rest. So set that timer. And when I woke up, when it went off, the alarm and everything like that, I had a good array of a discharge and blood and everything all over the pillow and everything like that. And then I ended up going and managing my way by God's grace to making it to Josh and saying, hey, Josh, I'm not feeling so good. And immediately he got on the phone, called his mom, called my sister-in-law, and they came with, I mean, just dropped everything. It was the middle of the night, came to be with my girls and be with me. And they rushed me up to Chicago. Josh had got on the phone, talked to Dr. Burns, my neurosurgeon, letting him know what was going on. And so it was my father-in-law driving, which is kind of spooky, but I might it. And then Josh in the passenger seat, and then my sister-in-law with me too. And they had just said, you know, it's okay, it's all right, you know, just try to remain calm. And I just said, you know, something's just a little off. Something's just not right. Fast forward, I ended up having to have my second brain surgery because an infection had lodged within, you know, the incision site. And it was then, I believe it was September 4th. So in 2 days, my mom, before I went in for my second surgery, ended up accepting Christ as our personal savior. I have said it in my book. I've said it to people. If I had to do it all over again for my mom's salvation, I would do it 100% and everything. It was all worth it. Now, talk about a sinus infection, just slap that aside because I cannot deal with those babies. But I could do brain surgery for salvation, which makes no sense whatsoever. But, you know, it was just one of those, you know, one of those stories that you don't really believe and until you hear it. And it's one of those, like, God did that. And what I've had a hard time with now is realizing, you know, I am a miracle. I am God's miracle. But at the same time, we are all God's miracle in our day-to-day lives that we do. And the thing is that there's more prominent times than others. And that was my prominent time. That was my time to go through what I went through for my mom's salvation. And so during that time, I then started to get on social media and I got to see the array of people that were praying for me and wishing the best and encouraging my mom and encouraging my family and encouraging, you know, what Christ has done and that he is real and he is tangible because of the people that God had placed in my life. They now knew someone personal that had been touched by Christ and not take that to a degree of for granted, because I think we kind of get in that everyday life of, well, it's just is what it is. But what our is God's plan, is God's glory. Each day is a blessing. Each day is meant for God's purpose and God's kingdom. And we shouldn't, you know, take that for granted. So that's my brain story, my brain tumor story.
2 brain surgeries, an immense amount of prayer warriors, an amazing God who made it clear that Stephanie's time on earth isn't done. In fact, because her mom saw her strong faith standing in the fire, Stephanie's mom accepts Jesus. In Stephanie's own words, that salvation is worth every ounce of pain.
So it was my brother-in-law, Matthew, and also my brother-in-law, Elijah, who were huge in Christian music. And I had only known Christian music for hymnals and everything. And I kind of needed a little bit more pep, a little more pizzazz. And my brother-in-law, so this was about 2 years before my surgery. He had introduced me to Casting Crowns, Mercy Me, 10th Avenue North. And it was part of my day-to-day. It was part of my walk. And they gave me the permission to get closer to God through this music. And so whenever, you know, I just was happy, I was listening to Christian music. Whenever I was sad, I was listening to Christian music. Whenever I was frustrated, I was listening to Christian music. That is where I was going. And it was just such a blessing. And it felt like Christian music was coming right alongside with me in my journey, you know, as a mother, as a wife, as a person that sometimes feels defeated or prideful or a person that just needs to take it to the next step and just realizing, hey, I am learning me some Bible verses through song, and which is the best way for me to learn It's just been amazing. So right after I had surgery, the first surgery, I asked Josh, can I please have my earbuds so I can listen to some Christian music and everything like that. And it is my go-to. Like, I don't really listen to other stations very often and everything. Christian music is my prime as far as, you know, my day to day. I've became a runner over the last 10 years. I know I'm surprised too. And it has gotten me through those times of defeat where I'm just like, oh my goodness, I can't go anymore. And just, you know, the Christian music that has just like, you got it. God is with you. You are not alone. And it comes at the most profound times. And I'm just like, he plays that song and I'm just like, oh, thank you. I can go a little bit further and everything. And 10th Avenue North, it is struggle. Huge. It was struggle. And then Brandon Heath. But I also fell in love with Lauren Daigle. Oh, Lord, love her. You know, I love Redemption. I love the one about climbing the mountain and everything like that. Oh, just 10,000 miles. I mean, like all these songs are just so prominent. And Josh, Hunter, and David is Hunter's boyfriend, ran the Chicago Marathon 3 years ago. And boy, did I clench to my Christian music. But here's another thing that I think is very prominent is I think that it's important to say that there is a special time and place where God connects with you. For me, it's the pavement. It's running. It's walking. That is where God connects with me the most. I don't have the outside influences. And the Christian music kind of gets that thinking going. And then my prayers start opening up to God, just saying, yes, you're hearing me. This song is speaking to my heart. And God, you are hearing me and you are hearing my prayers right now. He meets me on the pavement, and that's why, but I will not, I repeat, ever do another marathon. I will continue to run, but I will not do another marathon. Oh, no, no. I'm a one and done kind of gal.
Stephanie is flourishing in life with an abundant amount of energy and humor while shouting from the rooftops the goodness of God. Christian music came right alongside her in the healing journey. In the good days, bad days, and now in her healthy running adventures. It is a time of spiritual and physical renewal when she runs and worships Jesus. Stories of healing, redemption, restoration. This was Shine 180, Stephanie's story. I'm Steph Reynolds, Director of Partner Care at Shine.fm. Your story matters. Your story offers hope and encouragement to others. Share your story today by calling 855-987-9866. That's 855-987-9866. Shine 180, stories of lives transformed by God because of your faithfulness.